Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
Tessa didn't move because she was chasing a fresh start. She moved because her life had become a calendar problem, a contract job that ended mid-month, a lease that wouldn't flex, a friend of a friend who offered a clean, quiet duplex on the edge of town with a simple deal. Month to month, no questions, first and last up front. The kind of place you take when you're tired of negotiating with everything. The unit was small but sensible. Two bedrooms, one bath, a narrow galley kitchen that opened into a living room. Just big enough for a couch and a desk. The front door faced a short sidewalk and a patch of grass that someone mowed just often enough to keep the neighbors from complaining. The back door opened to a gravel strip and a shared fence line that leaned slightly, as if it had been pushed on too many times. Tessa noticed practical things first. The deadbolt had been replaced recently. The peephole was new enough to still look shiny. The windows had those cheap stick-on alarms, the kind that chirped when you opened them. It read less like paranoia and more like a landlord who'd had one too many close calls. She told herself she liked it. Liked the plainness, liked that nothing in the place asked her to feel anything. Her first week was almost aggressively normal. She unpacked by categories, kitchen, linens, then office, because it made her feel like she was putting her life back into a shape she recognized. She worked from the small second bedroom, laptop facing the wall, a tidy row of pens and sticky notes arranged with unnecessary care. She learned which floorboard creaked near the hallway and which cabinet door needed an extra push to latch. At night, she fell into bed with the exhaustion of someone who'd been carrying tension for too long. Not fear, exactly. More like vigilance with nowhere to go. The only thing that bothered her at first was how often she found the front door locked. She didn't mean the deadbolt. Tessa always locked the deadbolt. She meant the chain. On the second night, she came back from taking trash out to the bin and found the chain in place from the inside. The chain was old brass, stiff and reluctant, the kind you had to slide carefully into its track. She stared at it for a moment, confused, then chalked it up to habit. Maybe she'd latched it without thinking. But it happened again 2 nights later after a quick run to her car for a phone charger. Chain latched, door closed, no one else inside. She checked the unit number, half laughing at herself. She was in the right place. She was always in the right place. Still, she stood there longer than she needed to, fingertips resting on the wood, listening to the quiet on the other side of the door. It wasn't the kind of quiet that felt empty. It felt occupied, like someone had stepped into the space between her and the hallway and decided, without speaking, that she didn't need to deal with whatever was out there tonight. The third time it happened, Tessa stopped laughing it off. She'd gone to bed early, the kind of early that came from too much screen time and not enough daylight. Sometime after midnight, she woke to the sound of rain hitting the windows, hard, sudden, the way summer storms like to arrive without warning. Thunder rolled close enough to rattle the picture frame over her desk. She lay there listening, half awake, until the noise faded back into a steady patter. That was when she realized the bedroom window was open. She was certain she hadn't left it that way. She remembered shutting it before bed, pressing down until the latch clicked. She remembered because the cheap alarm chirped when she did it, a high-pitched sound that made her wince every time. Now the room felt damp, the air carrying the sharp scent of wet grass. The alarm was silent. Tessa sat up and swung her legs over the side of the bed. The floor was cold beneath her feet. She crossed the room and reached for the window, already running through explanations. Faulty latch, old frame, her own tired memory filling in details that hadn't actually happened. The window was closed, not just closed, latched, alarm intact, no chirp, no gap. She stood there, hand resting against the glass, rain streaking down the outside. The storm had moved closer again, thunder rolling low and heavy. Tessa checked the other windows. All shut, all locked, all alarms silent. She didn't sleep much after that. The next morning, she found the back door deadbolted. Not the knob lock, the deadbolt she only used at night. She stood in the kitchen, coffee cooling in her hand, staring at the bolt like it had personally betrayed her. She could see the memory clearly, locking it before bed, telling herself it was overkill in a quiet duplex. She could also see herself unlocking it that morning, except she hadn't. The deadbolt had been thrown from the inside sometime after she went to sleep. She checked the living room, nothing disturbed, no signs of someone else having been there, no footprints by the back door, no displaced items. The security app on her phone showed nothing. No alarms triggered, no notifications. Tessa sat at the table longer than she meant to, staring at the back door like it might explain itself. If she waited, that was when she noticed the pattern. Every strange thing she'd dismissed so far, the chain, the locks, the windows, had happened when she was asleep or away. And every time, it involved an entry point. Nothing moved inside the unit. Nothing went missing. Nothing ever crossed the threshold. Whatever was happening wasn't interested in her space, and it was interested in the space around it. Tessa didn't tell anyone, not because she was afraid of how it sounded, but because she didn't know how to phrase it without sounding dramatic. "I think something keeps locking my doors," felt ridiculous. So she did what she always did when something didn't make sense. She paid attention. Once Tessa started paying attention, it became impossible not to see it. The incidents didn't happen every night. That would have been easier to dismiss as anxiety. Or a habit she didn't remember forming. Instead, they arrived irregularly, far enough apart that she could almost convince herself nothing was wrong. Close enough together that the pattern kept reasserting itself. It always involved a boundary. One afternoon, she returned from the grocery store to find the front door locked in a way she never used during the day. Not the chain this time, but the deadbolt. She stood on the walkway, bags cutting into her fingers, and tried to picture herself doing it. There was no memory to latch onto, no muscle recollection, just the hard fact of the bolt turned fully into place. Another night, she woke to the soft chirp of a window alarm. Not the full alarm, just the warning sound it made when the magnet shifted. She bolted upright, heart racing, and listened. Silence. She checked the window closest to the living room. It was shut, latched, alarm intact. The chirp never came again. After that, she began testing the space, though she didn't think of it that way at first. She left the chain off deliberately when she went to bed. It was on in the morning. She left the back door unlocked during the day while she worked in the second bedroom. When she checked it later, the deadbolt had been thrown. The strangest part wasn't that it was happening. It was where it wasn't. Nothing ever changed inside the unit. Her belongings stayed exactly where she left them. Drawers weren't opened. Cabinets stayed shut. Even small, careless things like a glass left near the edge of the counter remained untouched. Whatever was acting didn't move inward. It positioned itself outward. Tessa realized this one evening while standing in the hallway, keys in hand, listening to footsteps on the sidewalk outside. They passed slowly, then stopped near her door. She waited, holding her breath, without meaning to. The chain slid into place with a faint metallic click. The footsteps moved on. She stood there long after, staring at the door. Her reflection warped faintly in the peephole. The air in the apartment felt dense, as if something had just stepped back into a place it belonged. That was when it occurred to her, not as a fear, but as a conclusion. The presence she felt wasn't behind her. It was always in front of her, always between her and the outside. That realization shifted everything. The quiet no longer felt empty. The apartment no longer felt vulnerable. Instead, it felt held, like a space someone had decided to keep intact. Tessa didn't feel watched. She felt buffered, and that raised a question she wasn't sure she wanted answered. What exactly was being kept out? The first time something tested the boundary, it announced itself with sound. Tessa was working late, laptop open, rain ticking lightly against the living room window. The neighborhood quieted the way it always did after 10, traffic thinning, porch lights switching off one by one. She was halfway through an email when she heard footsteps outside. They weren't hurried. They weren't heavy. Just the steady pace of someone moving along the sidewalk, close enough that the sound carried through the thin walls. The steps slowed near her door. Tessa froze, fingers hovering over the keyboard. She listened, counting the seconds the way people do when they're deciding whether something is worth worrying about. There was a pause, then a sound at the door, subtle, almost polite, not a knock, more like a hand brushing the surface, fingertips dragging lightly across the wood. Her stomach tightened. Before she could stand or speak, the chain slid into place. It wasn't loud, just a soft, metallic movement, precise and final. Tessa stared at the door from across the room, heart hammering. The deadbolt turned next, slow and deliberate, followed by the faint click of the handle being tried from the outside. Once, twice, nothing gave. The footsteps shifted. Someone exhaled on the other side of the door, close enough that she could hear it through the frame. Then the sound retreated, steps moving away down the sidewalk until the night returned to its earlier stillness. Tessa didn't move for several minutes. When she finally crossed the room and pressed her ear to the door, there was no one there. The chain and deadbolt were secure. She unlocked them with shaking hands and immediately relocked everything herself, as if reclaiming the action mattered. After that, it happened more than once. A shadow passing the frosted bathroom window at night, followed by the back door deadbolting itself. Voices drifting faintly through the fence line, indistinct, conversational, ending abruptly when the locks clicked into place. Once the motion sensor light outside the unit turned on and stayed on for nearly an hour, casting long shadows across the grass. When Tessa finally worked up the nerve to look outside, there was no one there. The light turned off the moment she stepped back. What frightened her most wasn't what she saw. It was what she didn't. No attempts to enter through windows, no rattling handles, no escalation. Once the boundary held, whatever lingered outside seemed to recognize the resistance immediately and to accept it. That was when Tessa understood something important. This wasn't random protection, and it was responsive. The presence wasn't acting on a schedule. It reacted to movement, to proximity, to intention. It positioned itself where it was needed and nowhere else. And if something was willing to test the space repeatedly, quietly, patiently, it meant the boundary mattered, which meant that without it, there was no guarantee she would ever know who or what might have crossed the line. The night it finally made sense wasn't dramatic. There was no storm, no footsteps, no warning sound that pushed Tessa to the edge of panic. The apartment felt calm in the way it sometimes did just before sleep, when the world seemed to settle into itself. She had fallen asleep on the couch with the television on low, some half-watched documentary murmuring in the background. Sometime after midnight, she woke with the vague awareness that something had changed. Not a sound, a position. The air near the front of the apartment felt occupied, like when someone stands too close behind you and your body registers it before your mind does. Tessa lay still, eyes open, watching the dark ceiling. She did not feel watched. She felt shielded. The sense of presence wasn't anywhere near her body. It hovered near the front door, solid and unmoving, like a person standing guard. The feeling carried weight, not pressure, intent without urgency. Tessa sat up slowly. The chain was latched. The deadbolt was turned. She could see the faint outline of the door from the couch, moonlight leaking around its edges, and beyond it, something was wrong. Not inside. Outside. The unease came from beyond the door, from the narrow strip of space between the apartment and the sidewalk. A heaviness pressed there, indistinct and patient. Tessa couldn't see it, couldn't hear it, but her body reacted the way it did when someone stood too close for too long. She held her breath. The presence near the door shifted, not toward her, but outward. The sensation sharpened briefly like a line being drawn. Then it stopped. The wrongness outside receded, not suddenly, but reluctantly, like something backing away without turning its back. Tessa exhaled slowly, her hands trembling. She understood then that the presence had never been there for her in the way people usually meant it. It didn't comfort her. It didn't watch over her while she slept. It positioned itself where she wasn't. It stood between. The realization brought an unexpected wave of emotion. Gratitude, yes, but also something like restraint. The presence had never crossed into her space, never made itself known directly. It didn't ask for acknowledgement. It enforced distance. Tessa whispered, barely audible even to herself, "Thank you." The air near the door did not change. There was no response, no warmth, no sense of approval or displeasure. But for the first time since she'd moved in, the apartment felt complete, not empty, not tense, balanced. Tessa slept through the rest of the night without waking again. In the morning, she checked the security app out of habit. No alerts, no activity. But when she opened the front door to step into the daylight, she paused. The chain was unlatched, the deadbolt was unlocked. Whatever had stood watch through the night had stepped back when it was no longer needed. And Tessa understood one more thing, quietly and without fear. It was not hers to command. It was hers to respect. After that night, Tessa stopped testing the apartment, not out of fear, but out of understanding. She no longer left doors unlocked to see what would happen. She didn't pretend to forget the chain or ignore the quiet cues she'd learned to read. Instead, she treated the space the way you treat a fragile agreement, carefully, without pushing, without demanding proof. She locked her doors herself every night. She made it a ritual, not a superstition. Front door, deadbolt, chain, back door, knob, deadbolt. Windows checked once before bed, alarms armed, curtains drawn. The routine grounded her, but it also felt like acknowledgement, a way of saying, "I see the boundary. I will keep it too." The presence remained, but differently. She didn't feel it every night anymore. Some evenings passed with nothing but ordinary quiet. Other nights, she sensed it briefly, a heaviness near the entryway, a fullness in the air that settled and then faded. It never moved closer, never pressed inward. It stayed where it belonged, between. Once, while returning late from work, she noticed a man standing across the street near the fence line, pretending to scroll on his phone. He didn't look up when she parked. He didn't move when she stepped out of the car. Tessa paused. The porch light flicked on. The chain slid into place before she reached the door. When she glanced back, the man was gone. She didn't call the police. There was nothing to report, no crime, no confrontation, just absence. After that, she made a quiet decision. She would not try to communicate. She would not invite the presence further in, no matter how safe it made her feel. Gratitude did not require access. Protection did not require intimacy. Whatever stood watch did so on its own terms, and those terms were clear. Tessa lived her life normally. She worked. She went out with friends. She traveled when she could. And every time she returned, the apartment welcomed her back in the same unremarkable way. Lights steady, air calm, nothing disturbed. The presence never followed her. It never appeared anywhere else. It belonged to the threshold and only the threshold. Tessa understood now that some things weren't meant to be named or claimed. They existed in the space of function, not companionship. To cross that line would be to misunderstand the very thing that made it effective. She didn't need to know what it was. She only needed to know what it did. And when it stepped aside, when the locks were her own again and the quiet felt genuinely empty, she accepted that too. Protection, she learned, wasn't about control. It was about knowing when not to ask for more. Tessa stayed in the duplex another 6 months. Nothing dramatic happened during that time. No sudden tests of the locks, no late-night footsteps that lingered too long outside the door. The apartment settled into the kind of quiet people usually take for granted, the absence of disruption rather than the presence of peace. She noticed the change most in small ways. The chain stayed where she left it. The deadbolt behaved like a normal piece of hardware. The porch light came on when she flipped the switch and stayed off when she didn't. The space felt unoccupied in the truest sense of the word. And when the presence did return, because it did occasionally, it was brief and distant. A moment of heaviness near the entryway. A subtle sense of pressure, then release. It never coincided with her sleeping. Never announced itself. Never lingered longer than necessary. Tessa learned to read those moments the way you read weather, not as a personal message, but as information. Once she came home to police lights flashing two streets over. An officer later knocked to ask if she'd seen anyone unusual. She hadn't. But as she stood in the doorway answering questions, she felt that familiar stillness at her back, solid and unobtrusive. The officer thanked her and moved on. The presence did not stay. When her contract ended and she packed to leave, the apartment felt lighter than it had when she arrived. Not relieved, not abandoned, simply finished. On her last night there, she went through her routine one final time. Locks checked, windows shut, lights off. She stood in the living room for a moment, keys in hand, and let the quiet settle. "I won't forget," she said. Not as a promise, not as an invitation, just a statement. Nothing responded. The next morning, she left the duplex clean and empty. As she pulled away, she didn't feel watched. She didn't feel followed. Whatever had kept its place by the door understood the terms as well as she did. Some things are meant to stand guard. Some things are meant to remain at the edge. And some protections only work because they know exactly where to stop.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now, so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. 5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you, and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.